Actually, the human factors domain has really done a lot to help reduce errors in other mature fields like the medical community, aviation, and the nuclear regulatory field. And we're just looking to assess how human factors principles can apply to latent print analysis. So there's always room for improvement, even when technology and human expertise is mature.
So what are some of the human factors in fingerprints?
Well, there are quite a few. The report talks about urging management specifically to foster a culture where you can talk about errors so that you can understand how human error impacts forensic analysis. We also talk about the documentation of latent print examinations and making sure that examiners are detailing their level of work so that other examiners can look at their work and assess their accuracy and validity and make sure that before reports go out the door that they contain no errors.
The report also singles out or mentions insufficient resources. How much of a problem is that?
Well, I think with all federal endeavors or local government endeavors, resources is really important. Paying for appropriate staff to handle the workload is one concern. In management of crime, you can't really tell how much information you're going to pull from a crime scene, and we want to make sure that when we pull that information, that there's enough individuals to go through the evidence when it comes through the crime laboratory. So resources is a huge concern. We want to make sure that laboratories are appropriately staffed, they have the correct equipment to do the job.
Now, you also mentioned stress and personal issues affecting the analysts, if you will. What can managers do about that to help?
Well, for example, we talk about fatigue as being affecting performance, and we know that a lot of law enforcement agencies use shift work to manage their workload. So if you have people working a crime scene, say a murder happens at 2 a.m., and you've got crime scene folks out there in the middle of the morning, then they have to come in, and do their regular 9-to-5 shift, and actually do the work. It's important to make sure that you're allowing time for analysts to rest so that they can be at their peak when they're doing their job. So one of the things that the National Institute of Standards and Technology is working on is coming up with strategies to manage fatigue and manage shift work better so that we can ensure optimal performance.
We're speaking with Melissa Taylor, the Law Enforcement Standards Office of the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Now, is this report partly due to the fact, or you undertook this study now, because of the expansion in the use of fingerprints? I mean, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it was mainly the FBI and law enforcement. Now you have this gigantic Homeland Security component using fingerprints. So are there a lot of new people coming into that field?
Well, no, actually, the fingerprint analysis has been the predominant identification forensic technique for about 100 years. So there are a lot of agencies that have been doing it for a very long time. One of the catalysts for this report was a National Academy of Sciences report that came out, I think, about 2 years ago now, that talked about some of the issues within forensic science, and this was one of the efforts to try to address some of their concerns.
Now, we were talking about latent fingerprints before, and that means when somebody touches a glass or something and then they dust it and they get a picture of that fingerprint on there, and then someone looks at the image. Is that what we're talking about?
Right. So the examination of latent prints, actually, you have the latent print that comes from an item of evidence that came from a crime scene, and you compare the features in that latent print to the features in a known print, so you know where the second print comes from. Either you get it from a database arrested people, or a police officer might have taken it from a suspect. But the latent print examiner actually compares the features to see whether or not there's enough similarity to give the opinion that those two impressions came from the same person.
But I thought that whole process was computerized and there were algorithms that looked at certain, what do they call them, minutia points on
right,
a fingerprint.
There are parts of the process that can be automated, like searching a database to identify potential suspects. That part is is routinely automated. But because the information from a crime scene is so degraded and so distorted, the human examiner actually does better than computers at removing distortion and really being able to see the features. So the technology itself isn't, the AFIS technology, which is Automated Fingerprint Identification Systems technology, aren't mature enough to handle this degraded information. It's actually used for 10-print to 10-print searches, which is a known to a known, where there's a lot of information that the systems can actually use. But for latent print analysis, because there's such a small amount of information and sometimes it can be badly degraded, the human examiner actually is better than the computerized systems.
So an analogy might be the Postal Service, which can automate the reading of envelopes that might be really well printed or computer-generated, but lousy handwriting, you need somebody to look at it.
Perfect. The human examiner there is always better to differentiate distorted or poor handwriting. So in that case, yes, that metaphor is exactly right.
Tell us more about the Justice Department's role in this particular study and set of recommendations. Obviously, the Justice Department has the FBI and other law enforcement agencies.
Right. So the Justice Department actually funded this work through the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and they actually had, we had members from the FBI on the panel. The panel was actually made up of 34 experts from various forensic disciplines. We had statisticians, psychologists, engineers, other scientific experts, and legal scholars. So we had a really comprehensive view of the latent print analysis field. And, you know, some of the people who were on the panel were from the FBI. So we were able to learn from the successes that they've had in the last couple of years in making changes within their processes, as well as from local and state law enforcement agencies.
So what happens to the report now?
So we're hoping that that, you know, it'll get a wide audience to review it. We're actually going to present at several of the National Forensic Association meetings. Right now I'm at the American Academy of Forensic Science meeting, which is has been going on all week in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're presenting the findings to the community so that they can get a better understanding of what our process was how we came to the recommendations that we did, because some of the recommendations are, you know, a departure from the way that some laboratories are currently conducting and reporting their examinations.